Folks, this is not a repeat. We have not resorted to that just yet. If Thursday doesn't work, I say rally on Friday. We've got our visitor from the north. Wi-Fi hotspots be darned. This is live. He's doing his thing now for NBC Sports Northwest. Online, on the tube, he's talking Ducks with the merry trio of Kent, Newman, and Joey. On Twitter, the handle is at Aaron J. Fentress. We welcome back Aaron Fentress. Mr. Fentress, yesterday I asked you how you were doing. You said you weren't sure. How about now?
I'm doing okay. I'm not doing badly. I didn't make sure I was doing badly yesterday. I was just in a sort of one of those, like, neutral states.
Okay. Yeah,
you're in a neutral state? Like, you don't feel bad. You don't feel good. You just go hovering.
Yeah, I guess It's kind of a suspended animation for humans.
Exactly. That's where I was.
So yesterday I asked you about one question, and it was Joe Girardi getting fired. But as a Cubs fan, you know, you and I are now on the sidelines as World Series spectators. This series, I find myself as neutral as I've ever been in, like, any championship round.
Really?
You know, Dodgers and Astros all even. You have any rooting interest here? Kind of what's your level of engagement now in the series?
I kind of would like to see the young upstart Astros win. I kind of always like that story over the Goliath, you know, if I don't have a rooting interest in it. So I think I'm pulling for Houston. Plus,
they're sure a fun team
Dodgers,
to watch.
Some Dodgers fans are being obnoxious to me, too, so I don't like that.
I knew there was a hidden personal meeting.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Show some class.
I want to hit one quick NBA thought. So after one game, the Lakers drafting Lonzo Ball was the new worst mistake ever. It was worse than Leaf or Darko Milicic.
Was it really? Were people going off that badly?
Some of his stuff was. And, of course, the problem is, I always say this, you get the 24/7 coverage and sometimes late night radio, not all the fill is of the highest quality. But when they're talking about now, you know, his dad gets all this FaceTime, then opponents are say they're going to target him. I mean, what do you make of this whole melodrama? Eventually, we're going to just be like, oh, by the way, could we just watch the kid play ball?
Now, he had a good game against Phoenix.
Yeah.
Right? 29-11. Then he came back with a bad shooting night and a bad shooting. Now, Washington game didn't work out. They won, but he 2-for-11. Wall took it to him, right, defensively. But he had 10 assists and 8 rebounds. I'll give him that, but he struggled. I mean, shooting 31%. I mean, I think the kid's going to be good because he's a passer first. And to me, and he's won the rebound. So if you're willing to do that, you don't need to score a ton as long as you're efficient, like Jason Kidd was. Jason Kidd didn't score a lot, but he didn't kill you. So I think he's going to be good. But his dad did put a target on his back with the Stephen Curry nonsense and his own nonsense about I could beat Michael Jordan. It's just when you come across as obnoxious, you're going to be treated as a villain, even if you're just the offspring of the obnoxious one. Right? I mean, that's unavoidable. It's kind of, I think it's, some people call him brilliant for the marketing he's doing, but I don't think being obnoxious is brilliant. But I guess in this day and age, sadly, it kind of is for some reason because it works. So I can't wait for him to play Steph Curry. I want to see if Steph Curry tries to drop 60 on him. That's going to be the funny thing.
I'll tell you what, Kid and Gary Payton are from Oakland, and the best thing I saw years ago in an interview, Payton said, when Jason came into the league, we called him Ason because he had no J.
you mentioned the overreaction thing. Do you remember when Reggie Bush went to and Houston took Williams?
Yeah, Mario Williams.
Mario Williams first, and people were freaking out. And it was one of those things where everyone thought Reggie Bush, the Heisman winner, one of the greatest college players ever, had to be number one, and Casserly threw the monkey wrench for Houston making that pick. And then there was a preseason game where Bush caught he caught a pass out of the backfield or something, or a corner route out of the backfield, whatever. He made a big play. And that day it was preseason game. And that day on ESPN, on one of their NFL shows, they were going off about this big play and how Houston made a mistake and all this. I'm like, are you kidding me? Houston made a mistake because Reggie Bush had a 45-yard play? Of course Reggie Bush is going to have a 40-yard play. He's Reggie Bush. That doesn't mean they made a mistake. It's like Houston said, you know what? I don't think Reggie Bush is ever going to gain 40 yards in the play. Do you think? No, they picked him over the long haul. They thought Williams would be better. So that was a great example of complete overreaction, and that's what we saw with Ball as well. It was game one of what's going to be probably a 1,600-game career.
But we need to jump to conclusions after 28 minutes of on-court action.
Right now.
All right. Yep. Talk with Aaron Fentress, NBC Sports Northwest. Oregon football. So last weekend you wrote your post-UCLA report, an eye on Braxton Burmeister, and you said if he were actually allowed to speak with the media, you'd apologize. So what was the logic behind you wanting to tell the kid we're sorry?
Well, I feel badly because every week the past few weeks has been Burmeister's not playing well, and the fans see it, and the media sees it, and the media talks about it, and you're this poor kid, and it's like, you know, the only reason he's playing is because of the by default, because two guys transferred, and one guy got injured. Like, he's not ready for this. The coaches knew he probably wouldn't be ready for this. He might have thought he would be, but I'm sure in his back of mind he was like, good God, don't put me in there. I'm not ready for this. But he has to because they have no other choice, and it's such a position where everything you do is so magnified. And in this offense, you have to perform well. You have to have a playmaker in this type of offense, especially playing the up tempo. So no matter what happens, you find yourself tweeting over and over again, Burmeister did this wrong. You're talking about it on every TV show I'm on. I'm talking about it on the radio. I'm writing about it. Burmeister, Burmeister, Burmeister. And it's not fair to him. It's just completely unfair. And so I just felt badly, and I just think everyone who's complaining about what's going on and pointing fingers and even blaming the coaching staff or even going back and blaming it's Helfrich's fault, Burmeister, sorry, all that kind of nonsense. It's like he's become this beacon of, you know, negativity, and it's not fair. You know, it's unfair and unfortunate.
Well, I blame Andy Ludwig and Gary Croton, but that's a story for another day.
And some other people brought up other freshmen who were playing well, and I'm like, you cannot compare Jordan Scott and Thomas Graham to a quarterback and what they have, what the responsibilities are. Thomas Graham's responsibilities as a corner compared to the quarterback, it's like I'd say 15% of the same amount of responsibility that the quarterback has. And plus, Thomas Graham and Jordan Scott are playing because they're ready to play. Braxton's playing because they got no choice. There's a complete difference there.
Oh, yeah, getting thrust into a role as opposed to being prepared for one all summer long.
Yeah, winning one in training camp versus, who else we got? That guy? Go in there. Coach.
Now, another thing you wrote about I thought was interesting, the combo, young people, mistakes. You know, you knew with, like you said, the nose tackles, the secondary, the receivers, Darian Felix. You know, you got a lot of freshmen playing important roles, and you got to expect some errors. But would I be accurate in saying that last week in particular, even Coach Taggart felt that their mistakes were a little more damaging than we'd seen?
Yeah, you know, we had him on Talking Ducks this week. When I talked to him Tuesday, one of the things he said was that on Sunday, instead of practicing, they watched the game film as a team, the entire team. They didn't break it up offense, defense, special teams. It was the entire team. And what he wanted to do is he wanted everyone on the team to see every mistake every guy was making, every little thing from a blown route to lining up wrong to a missed tackle to missed gap assignment to blowing the covers to whatever. And he just wanted everyone to know that you can't pin this all on the fact that Herbert's out. It wasn't even that blaming Burmeister for his play. It was that, you know, you can't say we're only losing because we don't have Justin. Well, no. If we didn't make these other 95 mistakes, we might have a chance to be in these games. And that was his point. And, you know, for us in the press box, you know, we don't know every little mistake. If you sat there and watched the play over 10 times over, yeah, you could probably see that guy probably should have done that. But obviously, we don't know what the play call was, et cetera, et cetera. But they do. The coaches know right away. And the coaches, right at the ball snap, they're like, oh, God, he went the wrong way or something like that, right? And then the quarterbacks look lost. We blame the quarterback. The quarterback can't read defense. Well, maybe he can't read a defense because he thought he had a curl and a flat route, and instead he got an out and a post. And he's like, well, how are you guys going? going to get that. So all these things have to be cleaned up. And here's my thing. Herbert and even Mariota to an extent and Vernon Adams, great quarterbacks, they elevate your team, right? They can carry you and make everyone look better. Well, in this case, when you have a deficient player at the key position, everyone else on the team has to raise their game to pick him up. Otherwise, you lose 49-7. You lose 31-14. You lose 33-10. Now, is it possible to do this? And I said this to Tiger, too. I said, well, the problem is because he's giving you so little, everyone has to play perfectly, and they're just not mature enough to do that. They're making mistakes they normally would make as young players. Mistakes they were making early in the season, too, but they're playing weaker competition, and Herbert could elevate you. So that's the catch-22.
It sure is. You know, we saw the videos this week. Speaking of Herbert, you know, he's making throws in practice, and I know it's insane and it's speculation. What did Coach Tags have to say about his status, and, you know, what's logical as far as when he gets back on the field?
Well, he keeps doing that, anything is possible, blah, blah, blah stuff. You know, I've been told he's not taking team reps. So if he's not taking team reps or not taking very many team reps, and I was told by a different person that it's not happening, that he's just not ready. So, you know, when I started hearing that, I started feeling like my prediction of Utah game's not looking good. I still got about 20 hours to hope for a miracle recovery, you know. But I would say right now I would be absolutely floored if he played tomorrow based on what I'm hearing. I think that there would be more of a buzz. Like, that's hard. If he's out there slinging it, first team reps, that's almost impossible to keep a secret. Just like it was impossible to keep a secret last year when he was named the starter for the Washington game. Like, one of my sources told me on a Sunday, said, well, you can't print it yet. We want to keep it a secret. I'm like, keep it a secret from who? From Washington? They don't care who you start. They're going to squish whoever it is. It don't matter. And, of course, the news was out by Monday morning. You can't keep that stuff a secret. So I'm feeling like there's no way Herbert's playing tomorrow, although I have no official word on that.
And that means he'll come back against Washington, and it's like, oh, great, the Huskies again.
Yeah.
All righty. Yeah, I appreciate your flexibility in doing a sort of Thursday than an absolute Friday thing. You travel safe down here to Eugene, and look forward to having this conversation tomorrow in person.
Yeah, dude, we're going to be at a must-win for Oregon at 4-4. Imagine that.
Yeah. Who would have thought it? Well, actually, I would say for both teams, it's in the must-win category. But, yeah, they lose this game. And I put a poll up on my Twitter account, and it's about 60% of what – see, what I didn't ask, do you think Oregon will make a bowl? I said, if you had to bet a month's salary, do you think Oregon will make a bowl? And it's 60-40 against.
Really?
Yeah.
That's telling. They got to win this week, man, because that Arizona game is scary right now. Can't depend on Herbert saving you against Arizona.
All right. Hey, great stuff as always, my friend. Again, travel safe down to Eugene. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, see you tomorrow. Bye.
Take it easy.